it, okay? Before we get started here. I said, hi, RBC church family. That's you, right? Okay. I am writing today to share some thoughts on the recent COVID-19 or coronavirus pandemic. It's easy to be overcome by fear in the time like this, especially when the media outlets that we get our information from are incentivized to create the most sensational headlines and cover the worst aspects of the news of the day. As followers of Jesus, we know that fear is a tool of the enemy and that perfect love casts out fear, 1 John 4:18. That perfect love reminds us that our lives are secure in Christ and no harm will come to us outside of His perfect will. We do not believe that there is a significant risk to our church body by continuing to gather on Sunday mornings. Evidence of coronavirus infections have not yet appeared in our area, and the risk to most people is low. The elders are praying for the safety of our congregation during this time, and we invite your prayers also. Since we believe that our church doors should stay open always for those seeking the Lord, we will continue to operate all RBC services as normal. However, to prevent the spread of sickness, we would encourage you to wash with soap and or use hand sanitizer at all of our Sunday gatherings, Bible studies, meal ministry, and all related activities. Please make sure you are washing your hands frequently and refraining from touching your face. We are also making sure to wipe down surfaces, especially in the children's ministry, with disinfectant wipes. If you are unsure about your health risks, please let the Lord lead you in your decision on whether you should participate in any RBC activities. If need be, consult your doctor to determine whether or not you should be participating in public gatherings. We are also asking parents to keep their children out of the children's ministry if they have displayed cold or flu-like symptoms in the 24 hours leading up to Sunday. I want to leave you with a note of encouragement as we follow in the footsteps of our Lord Jesus, who cared for the sick and hurting. This is a great time for the gospel, a time for people to hear God's word and maybe come to Christ. We have an opportunity to take His word seriously when He said, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." John 13, verses 34 and 35. May we continue to have that heart as we find ways to serve the least, the last, and the lost during this time of what people have come to fear in uncertainty. In His service, Pastor Dan and the elders at Rathrum Bible Church. So there's our response to all this. And I do want to remind you, if you turn to the book of James, there's an element that you and I, usually pride keeps us from doing this. There is a responsibility on your part that transcends medicines. And you must do this also. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So there's a spiritual aspect of this that if you find yourself sick, are you even calling for people, even the elders, to pray for you? Okay, so that's the biblical side of that. We're not just here to take up pew space. Okay, all right, with that, open your Bibles to Psalm 94. And why don't you stand, because I'm going to pray. It's already been read, so I won't reread that. And welcome to Rathrum Bible Church. If you're a visitor, we welcome you. Father, I ask that even now as we open your word, Father, you'd speak to us this morning. Father, the power and might of your word, may it go forth, Father. May we see some wondrous things, Father, today in your scriptures, Father. May we realize that you are our help, Lord God. And without you, we really can do nothing. Lord, you are our strength, you are our power, you are our might, you are our refuge, our high tower, our fortress. You are our help in time of need. And so we recognize that today, Father. Thank you for the beautiful day you've given us, the time of fellowship we have together. And I want to pray, Father, for the body of Christ in the Rathdrum area. Father, as they are meeting or not meeting today, that they would be strengthened in your word. Lord, that you would bring them to a place of hearing your word today, that you would strengthen our faith. Lord, encourage us, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. The comforting verse that we saw last week is verse 14 in this psalm. If we just back up, for the Lord will not cast off his people, nor will he forsake his inheritance. Are you glad about that this morning? Yeah, he won't cast us off. It's comforting to know that the Lord will not cast off or forsake any of us. Certainly he wouldn't forsake Israel. He's not going to forsake us as believers. We are his inheritance. And this even was a promise to Israel. If you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 26 to 31. So Deuteronomy 4, verse 26 to 31. And you'll see what that says. It says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that you will soon utterly perish from the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess. That's Deuteronomy 4. Starting in verse 26, you will not prolong your days in it, but will be utterly destroyed. And the Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord will drive you. And there you will serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor bear nor eat or smell. So he's talking about them going into captivity here in this passage. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in distress and all these things come upon you in the latter days, when you turn to the Lord your God and obey his voice, for the Lord your God is a merciful God. Amen. He's a merciful God. How many woke up this morning and said, Lord, thank you for your mercy today, your loving kindness today? The rest of verse 31 says, he will not forsake nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers, which he swore to them. We could go to 1 Samuel in chapter 12 if we want to, 1 Samuel 12, verse 22. And you'll notice in this passage, 1 Samuel 12, verse 22, it says, for the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake. That's why he won't do it. For his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. And those things were said about Israel. And you can also go to 1 Kings chapter 6, and you can go to Jeremiah chapter 12, Micah 7. Even if we were to go back into the New Testament in Romans chapter 11, verse 1. Where Paul is reminding them about this very thing. I say then, has God cast away his people? Certainly not, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. So has God cast away Israel? No. Why? Because he's not going to lose them. He's not going to forsake his people. He'll keep his promise to himself. Now, these promises gave Israel hope in difficult times. That's even you see that in the psalmist here. And they would sing these psalms, they remember that God keeps his promises. You know, so it's also a promise for us to encourage us in difficult times. Would you say we're in difficult times? Yeah, we're in difficult times. John 10, go into the New Testament, John 10, or into the Gospels, John 10, verses 27 through 30. And I want you to just remember this. No matter what you see in the world today, remember these things. John 10, starting in verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now look at that. If you're a sheep of his, if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you believed believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He's given you eternal life, and you will never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. I need to be encouraged when things are difficult in this world, that God won't lose me. I certainly need to be reminded how much he loves me. Certainly with things that go on in the world, the question goes, if God's such a loving God, why does he let these things happen? Doesn't mean that he doesn't love us. Because the scriptures say, Romans 8, verses 28 to 31, show us how much he not just loves us, but how much he'll never lose us. 8:28. Down to 31, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. You can see the security of the Lord in that passage. That he looks at me and you as already a finished work. We're already glorified. Anybody here been glorified yet? No, but God says you are. So there's hope in that for us. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? So there's words of hope there. Go over to the same chapter, verses 38 to 39. Romans 8, 38, 39. What do we see there? For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not one thing ever that can come up will cause God to stop loving you. Praise God for that. You know, I need that encouragement. The psalmist needs that encouragement. The psalmist understood that however long God's instruction was going to be, and remember that word came up in verses 12 and 13, or chastening if you had an NASB Bible, however long that was going to be, or however long it was going to continue, the faithful may be sure that God has not, and he never will forsake them. That's what the psalmist is saying here. And if I was to take you back to Psalm 37, that would reinforce that. Psalm 37, verses 27 to 29. As we go back here to Psalm 37, and look what the psalmist here, who happens to be David, says in 27 to 29. He says, depart from evil and do good. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever. But the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. But notice that part, they are preserved forever. Folks, that's you. I hope that makes you feel good today. I hope it encourages you. But because are you sure of that very same promise that David gives here, that the Lord gives to David? Look at John chapter 5. Let's go back to the Gospel of John, John 5, 24. John 5, 24. And what does that say? Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. Now, do you believe you have everlasting life? I mean, that's a basic question to ask. That's a new believer question, all right? But you have everlasting life and you shall not come into judgment. Do you believe that? But has passed from death into life. You believe you're alive today? Well, look at what's happening in the world, and I'm just going to say to you, don't fear. Don't fear. John chapter 6, go over to the next chapter there, verse 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. Do you believe that? Okay, do you believe if we go into 39, and 40 of that same chapter. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up in the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day. Do you believe that? Is that, if that's you, you put your whole hope in those verses. Hebrews chapter 7, if we were to go back there to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 7, specifically in verse 25. Hebrews 7, 25. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. I don't know if we even think about verses like this, that he can save me beyond what I think I need to have to be saved. He can save me to the uttermost. That means I can completely or am completely saved by him. And why? Because he's what? He makes intercession for me. I'm constantly on the lips, when I say I, I'm implying us. We are constantly on the lips of the Lord as he makes intercession for us. He prays for us on our behalf constantly. There's no sleeping. There's no break. Constantly. Well, if you have a God with that kind of devotion, folks, I want to just tell you, you have a God who's going to help you. And we need to, because this is what the psalmist says in Psalm 94. Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would soon have settled in silence. Now, before we get there, go to verse 16. It says, who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Now, this verse here really introduces the conclusion to the psalm. So this would be where that conclusion would start. And it's not as if the psalmist is inviting others who are righteous to join him in resisting evildoers, but it's really to declare that no one but God is able to stand up for him. That's what he's saying. It's not the, please come and join me so we can stand against evil. And that's not what he's saying. He's making a groundwork to say there's nobody who can do this except God. And so the matter before the psalmist is simply too great for anyone else. When God rises up, when he stands up, it will be the signal that he is no longer going to tolerate sin. Okay, God, please rise up. When he does, oh my goodness, it's over for the sinner. And right now he's sitting at the right hand of the Father in all glory. But be afraid, unbeliever, when he stands up. Because when he stands up, he's going to deal with the punishment of the wicked. So here the psalmist, rather than criticize others who had not come to his plea for help, he confesses that he too is really unable to stand apart from divine help. Lord, if you don't do something, I'm just going to go to the grave. If you don't do something about the wicked, Father, I might die too. Notice he says, unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would soon have settled in silence. Psalmists in Israel were not without a champion. Jehovah is their help. And this is what the psalmist is calling out. My soul would soon have settled in silence. NASB would say, if the Lord had not been my help, my soul would soon have dwelt in the abode of silence or in the grave. And, you know, that's contrasted really with Psalm 115. If you want to go to Psalm 115, verses 17 through 18 here. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor any who go down into silence. So you understand what silence is, the grave, okay? There's no noise out of the grave. No praise out of the grave. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. So Lord, unless you do something, unless you rise up on behalf, in this case, of Israel, then Lord, we're all going to die. Unless the wicked are just that wicked. This is the plea of the psalmist. Who we too can say the same thing. Unless the Lord had been our help, our soul would had gone down to the pit, to Sheol, the abode of silence where death is. Lord, unless you do something to save me, I'm just like everybody else. I'm going to go to the grave with no hope, with no chance. His imminent danger of death and destruction is really seen here in verse 18. If I say my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up. In other words, I'm that close, Lord, to slipping into the grave. I'm that close to falling short. We are that close, even as a people, Father, unless you do something, we're right at the premise of falling into the pit, and we need your help. In Old Testament language, losing one's footing was equivalent to perishing. It was equivalent to destruction of oneself. You can see this if we went back into Psalm 38, verses 15 and 16. And listen to what it says here. It says, "For in you, O Lord, I hope. You will hear, O Lord my God. For I said, hear me, lest they rejoice over me, lest when my foot slips, they exalt themselves against me, or when I fall into destruction, or when I perish, they would exalt themselves against me." Psalm 73 would give us that picture too in the first two verses. Psalm 73, verses 1 and 2, which says, "Truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my steps nearly slipped. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." I was really close to falling into destruction. So you get that idea that when the psalmist says this in Psalm 94, he's really close to the end. However, even the psalmist thought that was inevitable. God would, you know, that even if that was going to happen, that God would be there to hold him up. How many of us trust God like that? When despair comes or trials come, when discouragement comes, when we feel like there's just no way else to go, my God will always hold me up because he kept the promise. He'll always hold me up. We don't have to run around like fearmongers, like the rest of the world. My God will hold me up. And even if God wanted us to somehow suffer or perish because of the things the world are perishing by, what are you going to do to stop that? What can you possibly do if God said, "This is how you're coming off this earth"? That's already been set in stone. And I don't care how much toilet paper you buy. That's not going to save you from the hand of God. By God's mercy, he holds us up. He keeps us from falling when we are in a dangerous place. Look at Psalm 118. Let's see what the word says about that. Psalm 118, let's go to verse 13. There's so much in the Psalms. I mean, if you just look at all the things the Psalm says about God holding us up, about God keeping us from falling. You get Psalm 118, verse 13. It says, you pushed me violently that I might fall, but the Lord, what? He helped me. Psalm 124, let's read that whole psalm. It's not very long. We got time. What else do you got to do today except go home and hide? All right? You ain't going anywhere. You're just going from church to home, right? Watch football. Yeah, those are all canceled. Good luck. Every game's canceled. They even canceled golf. That's how bad it is. And that's outside. I guess we can have longer church. Psalm 124, listen to this. This is a song of accents of David. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. When men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The stream would have gone over our soul. Then the swollen waters would have gone over our soul. In other words, you would be drowning. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Psalm 125, right there, verse 1. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abides forever. What's the promise about those who trust in the Lord? You can't be moved. Don't put your trust in the news. Put your trust in the Lord. You want to not be moved, trust Him. And you can look at that in Psalm 142. You can read that. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, if you want a New Testament verse for that. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 8 through 10. This isn't in your bulletin, so you can add it here if you want. Listen to what it says here in verses 8 and 10. Who will also confirm you to the end that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ? God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you. Am I in the right place? No, I'm in wrong. I'm supposed to be in 2 Corinthians where I told you to be, right? Yeah, well, first thing that goes is your vision. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 8 to 10, there you go. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our troubles which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure above strength so that we despised even life. Yes, we had the sense of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raised the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still, what, deliver us. Here's the Apostle Paul telling them, even to the point of death, we know God will deliver us if he wants to. So notice what the psalmist says there in verse 19. In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comfort delights my soul. NASB would say, when my anxious thoughts multiply within me, your consolations delight my soul. How many people here have anxious thoughts that multiply? Have you seen that go on in the last 2 weeks? Anxious thoughts multiplying. Oh my goodness, they're going to get the last roll of toilet paper. Unless I get there. I was watching a thing where this one man was worried about toilet paper for his family. So he ordered 40 rolls. You saw it? He gets 40 cases shipped to him from Amazon. That man's got a basement full of toilet paper. But no food. Now that's a logical thing to do. Yeah, well, my point here is when my anxious thoughts multiply within me, I like the NASB better there, your consolations or your comfort will delight my soul. The psalmist claims is that in the midst of all his anxious thoughts, busy thoughts, who has busy thoughts, doubting thoughts, who doubts God, you know, the Lord in all those comforts the faithful soul. See, God is more than a mighty warrior who will take vengeance on his enemies. When we look at Psalm 94 here, he's also our mighty counselor. He's the one who comforts us in times of distress. Matter of fact, that's his title, isn't it? If you go to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, what's one of the things that he is called? You'll notice it says here, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the very son that God has given to us. Who is he? The government will be upon his shoulder. He's in charge. Let me say that again. He's in charge. Let me say it one more time. He's in charge. Okay. So, no matter what you hear, President Trump didn't come up with the virus. He's not the one dispersing the virus. It's not even, listen, God can stop the virus if God wants to stop the virus. Why can he do that? Because he's in charge. Okay? The government will be upon his shoulder, and that will be realized someday when he rules and reigns even from earth. And his name will be called what? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. But I want you to see there, one of his titles is Counselor or Comforter. And the thing that our Lord does is he comforts us when we are in all of this anxiety that goes on with us, whether it's in relationships or family or people or jobs or life. We start having these thoughts about what if and busy thoughts that get our mind off of the Word of God, off of our Lord, and onto the enemy and the things he's doing. And we start doubting God, and he says, no, I'm your comforter, just listen to me. Isaiah 51, not in your bulletin, let's just see that for a minute. Isaiah 51, verse 12. You're to jump over here. It says, I, even I, am he who, what? Comforts you. Folks, where are we getting our comfort from? Costco? No, I'm not trying to be silly. I'm trying to be serious. Where are you running for comfort? Yeah. I, even I, am he who comforts you. Who are you that you should be afraid? You know why we're afraid? Because we aren't going to God for comfort. We aren't going to him for counsel. We're not believing what he says. Of a man who will die, and of the Son of Man who will be made like grass. And you forget the Lord your Maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundation of the earth. You have feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor. When he has prepared to destroy. People, where should our trust be? Where should we go to for comfort? Should be our God with all his promises. Our helper in every time of need is the Lord himself. And every believer can say that the Lord is my helper. We're in need of, when we are in need, friends come to our aid, but they can't help us. We're scared. It's not that the doctor's going to have all the answers. Why? Because their resources are inadequate. But the Lord's resources are never inadequate. His name is El Shaddai. Remember we're going over the names? El Shaddai, Genesis 17:1. Let me go back here. Close to the start of Genesis 17:1, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. Now, that word there, that name, which is El Shaddai, in that text means that he is God enough. I'm God enough. I'm all you need. Now, just walk before me and trust me. And he'll be with us. Isn't that what he promises back in Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Go back here to Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. Let your conduct be without covetousness. So we'll start a little bit above 6 there. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Is that true? Why is that true? Because he said it. I will never leave you nor forsake you, so we may boldly say. This is why he said that. Okay? He says it so there will be a response from you. So that we can, what, just say it? or so that we can boldly say it? So that we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. So say that boldly. Do you mean it? The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. Say that boldly. What can man do to me? No, that's, you're supposed to say that with boldness. What can man do to me? What can the coronavirus do to me? Now you say, wait a minute, Pastor Dan, aren't you being presumptuous there? Isn't that arrogant? Aren't you being kind of boastful and prideful, saying, what do you mean that can't get you? Listen, folks, nothing's going to touch you that God doesn't want to touch you. Amen? That's true. So be bold, be bold. The Lord is my helper. I'm not going to fear. Now, with that, you certainly want to be wise, right? God gives us wisdom. Just like I said in the email that I sent out concerning that issue, if you got a cold, don't be a dummy. Because you can possibly, all right, having just a little cold, infect the elderly and bring down their immune system so it gets worse for them. So God gives us wisdom, but I'm not going to be afraid to lock my, I'm not going to lock my door and say I'm going to quit living. You see what I'm saying? I mean, we're supposed to be wise anyway. How many wash your hands? I shouldn't ask this question. Maybe I won't. Just before all this was breaking out, we were flying back from, I'm amazed at how many men in public restrooms, you watch them, they don't come out and wash their hands. I'm going, my goodness. And listen, if you use these bathrooms, the soap is not in there for fragrance. Wash your hands, please. Okay, I don't want to be a son of thunder and call the, oh, never mind. Just think how the Lord has been your helper as he provides what? Even Christ, our Savior for us, who is our mediator, our intercessor, our go-between. 1 Timothy chapter 2 would tell us that he is that very thing. He's the one that talks to God on our behalf. And that's all because God has provided that for us. As our helper, 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all to be testified in due time. You know, how much has God helped us? Well, even though he's made it possible for us to come boldly before his throne and pray and talk to him, well, he's even helped me more when he is constantly interceding for us. He's helping us every minute. Right now, as we're sitting here, God has you on his lips. He's our advocate, our paracletos, our comforter, our counselor, which we already talked about, which we see also in the book of 1 John, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, which says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Oh, Lord, our God, he provides for us. Our Lord provides for us. He's merciful, the merciful and faithful high priest. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. I would encourage you sometime to just study what it means for Jesus to be our high priest. Great study. But this verse, chapter 2, verses 17 and 18 says, therefore in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Do you see how he helps us? Constantly, through the scriptures, he shows his help for us. And no, Christ is the salvation of his people. He's the only person appointed, provided, promised, and sent to be the Savior. Acts 4:12. He alone is the author of salvation. Hebrews chapter 5. Sometimes we need to be reminded that our God saves us, that he fights for us, that he protects us, that he keeps us, that he helps us, and he never stops loving us. And this is a time where we need to remind one another. We need to, instead of talking about how the world's falling apart, start talking to one another how strong our Lord is. Start having it come out of those who should know, off our lips. When our neighbor is fearful, well, let me tell you how to not be afraid. Let me tell you who can stop that fear. Let me tell you who has victory over this. Let me tell you who gives life when death is at your door. And start proclaiming this. This is why, and I don't mean to say it in an arrogant way, that the doors of Rathrum Bible Church are not going to close. And that if we had one here, this is the time, I believe, things like this where the world is going to say, there's no hope. Where do I go for hope? If it's one, if it's none, we're going to be faithful as a congregation to lead people to Christ. And it may never happen. It may happen. But you don't lock the doors of the very place people will run to. And we as believers don't hide in our houses hoping nobody knocks on our door. Because we have the words of life. God's my defense. He's the rock of my refuge. I wanted to jump down into this because we've covered some of this already before. But look at here in Psalm 94. He has, verse 22, the Lord has been my defense. And the God, the rock of my refuge. Most people have been in a time when they have felt as if they were being overwhelmed by some sort of adversity. You know, that's how David felt. If you go read Psalm 35, in the midst of that battle, his confidence was down, and he asked the Lord to protect him. Specifically, if you were in Psalm 35, the first two verses there, let me read those to you. David felt this way. Plead my cause, O Lord, with those who strive with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Take hold of the shield and buckler and stand up for my help. Also draw out the spear and stop those who pursue me. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. You know what David's asking there? Remind me, Lord, that you've saved me. Encourage me. I feel depressed. I feel down. Nothing's going right in my life. Everything around me is falling apart. Nobody listens. Nobody cares. Now I'm starting to think, Lord, you don't care. So would you remind me that I'm saved? Would you remind me that you love me? Would you remind me that you care about me? Would you remind me that you help me? And sometimes we need to be reminded that God is there for our defense. He surrounds us with a shield, and he keeps us in his protection. And in our culture, people tend to look to worldly things to stabilize their hope, right? Toilet paper. Which are you going to trust more, Charmin or Jesus? And they pale in comparison, folks. Trust your Savior. You know, you can be wise. You can buy things to help other people. You can go down to Costco and have the attitude where, you know what, I'm going to get some provisions because just so I can help my neighbor. I'm going to get provisions so that I have something if my neighbor says, you know what, we're hungry. And I got that plus the gospel. I mean, there's wisdom in those kind of things. Folks, if your hope is in those things you buy, when those things run out, you're going to have something. And it needs to be the Lord that is our help and our strength and our rock and our comfort. You know, when you start thinking about God alone being the rock of strength, we must trust him and in him alone when we're faced with troubles and temptations of this life. He plucked the believer out of his sins and he set his feet upon a rock, a firm foundation, a strong, immovable place. You know, as the hymn goes, on this solid rock I stand, right? All other ground is sinking sand. You need to rejoice that you're a believer in this time and that God has set you on that rock, which is Christ. And nothing's going to happen to you that he hasn't already planned to happen to you. We all need to hear that the Lord is our strength. Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3. And let me wind this down here. Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3. God is our refuge. And this is a psalm of the sons of Korah. That was it's a song for Alamoth. That's the proscription there. God is our refuge and strength. Can you say that with boldness? He's our refuge and our strength, a very pleasant help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth is removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts, or breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted amongst the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So I want to remind you this morning that you can cry out to God for anything and he will hear, he will answer. He is our rock, that solid, immovable Savior that we have, and we can trust him. Amen. Father, thank you for your word today. Father, thank you for this psalm that not without its timing, Father, that we could be in this place, you know, going through this psalm, when all around us seems to be chaos. Father, we have a God we can trust. In Jesus' name.